Welcome to the Wahoo Central Podcast, our weekly look inside University of Virginia athletics. I'm Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com, and my guest today at the McHugh Center is Matt Theis, the starting catcher on the UVA baseball team. Matt, good to see you again. How did finals go for you?
Well, thanks for having me, Jeff. And it went pretty well. Got done last week, and it went well.
So how much does your daily routine change once the semester's over for you? Do you sleep in a lot more now? Or
I try not to sleep in a lot more, but we definitely have a lot more free time. That class is taken out of there, and, a lot more hanging around time. Go fishing a little bit, try to pass the time as much as you can. So
where's your favorite fishing hole around here?
I fished the South River a couple weeks ago with Ernie Clement. I didn't catch anything.
I saw some pictures of that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
When I talked to Coach O'Connor before the exam break, he said he thought several players would benefit from a little time off, yourself included. Do you feel rejuvenated heading into this weekend series with Georgia Tech?
Yeah, definitely. The 10 days off or whatever we got was helpful for not only me, but for, a lot of our guys. Guys like Connor and Adam Hazley, who can take a little bit of a rest from throwing. And, especially for me, I feel a lot better only catching, a couple innings a day and scrimmages and things like that. And my legs feel, really good and ready to go.
As a sophomore last year, you started 41 games at catcher. This year, you've already played catcher in 42 of the 48 games, and your total is going to grow, obviously, in the coming weeks. I know you're still a young guy, but how much of a toll does that take on your body? You caught a doubleheader at Pittsburgh a couple weekends ago, right?
Yeah, I mean, as long as you handle it right, it's really not bad. I try to stay on the same sleeping schedule, but, it's four or five games a week. It's nothing too heavy on you. Obviously, after games, you're a little bit tired. Try to get in the ice bath after every game and, get ready for the next day. But, it's not too bad.
In addition to catching nearly every game, you're leading the team in batting average, home runs, slugging percentage, on-base percentage. You're second in RBIs to Pavin Smith. Not only that, you have nearly as many home runs as strikeouts, which is highly unusual for a power hitter. You were a third-team All-American last year. You led Virginia in batting average during the NCAA tournament, so it's not as if this production is a big surprise. But still, how do you explain kind of the increased output this season?
To be honest, I don't know if there's a way to explain it. I guess from the hard work from the previous years and things like that you put in, you're able to take out and, produce. But to be honest, there's nothing that really explains it. It's just, what happens. Some of it's luck, some of it's skill, some of it's just preparation.
There are players who come into the UVA program and start from day one. You kind of had to wait your turn a little bit. As a freshman in 2014, on a very good team that made it to Omaha, you played in 26 games, started 16 of them, and the starts were all at DH, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yep.
What was that like for you? Most of the guys who come in here were hot shots in high school. Was that kind of humbling for you that first year, or did you just figure it was part of the growth of a baseball player?
It was 100% humbling. You come in here and, you realize how good the program is and how hard college baseball is going to be. And then, that first year you go through so many ups and downs. And, it's a lot to deal with. I take it as a big learning experience. Like I said, I didn't play in over half the games. I only started at DH. So the times that I did get in, I took it as a learning experience. But most of the time that when I wasn't in the game, I really took it as in-game experiences, whether it was, in the bullpen, things like that, and just trying to get better every day so I can prepare myself better for the next year. And I think it turned out pretty well. So,
you've always been able to hit. How much have you improved as a catcher, defensively over your time here?
Yeah, I think I've definitely improved a lot. I remember struggling my freshman year big time, Artie Lewicki making fun of me, things like that. But having Coach McMullen and Coach Kirby and, Coach Kuhn work with us every day and, just the fundamentals and things like that. And, I think my defense has improved, 100 times better, and, I'm proud of it. So
you're from Jackson, New Jersey, which is not far from the Jersey Shore, right?
Nope.
What's your hometown like?
Uh, It's very laid back, relaxed. It's a big town with a lot of people in it. Nothing much happens out there.
Big town? What is a big town?
I think it's 100 square miles or 100,000 square miles, whatever it is. 60,000 people in it. So
wow.
It's smaller than Charlottesville, but...
There was a great photo of a very young Matt Theis playing baseball in the Andrew Ramspacker story that ran in the Daily Progress the other day. In addition to baseball, what else did you play as a boy, and when did you kind of start just focusing on baseball?
Yeah, I played football, I wrestled, and I played basketball all when I was really young. Basketball went away real quick. I have the worst jump shot on the team. wrestling was a lot of fun, but it got to the point where cutting weight was becoming a thing, you know, as I got older, and, you know, I just didn't want to do that with baseball. So wrestling and football kind of faded away when I was about 12, 13, and that's when I really just started focusing on baseball. Now, looking back, I wish I played high school football.
Did the coach try to get you out?
Not really. They had a really good team and, you know, didn't need me at all. But, you know, just looking back on the missed experiences from playing high school football, I wish I did.
Sounds a little bit like the Kevin McMullen story growing up. I think he wrestled, played football, and played baseball. Yep. Kevin was your lead recruiter, right?
Mm-hmm.
When did Virginia start recruiting you? And at the time, did you know much about the school? I know there have been some other players from Jersey, Sean Doolittle and others who kind of preceded you here.
Coach Mack started recruiting me when I was a sophomore in high school, kind of that sophomore over the summer period in between my sophomore and junior year. And I didn't know too much about, you know, the school or the program. Obviously, I knew about the academics and, you know, how good the program has been over the years, but I didn't know a whole lot. And, you know, when I came down here to visit later on that summer, you know, I saw everything that the school and the program was about, and it was a hit right away.
When did you commit? Do you remember?
I think it was 3 days after I visited here.
So what point of your high school career was that?
Right before the start of my junior year, academically. So it was really early. But like I said, when I came down here, I knew, you know, that I wanted to come here and I had to come to this program.
At the end of your senior year in high school, the Red Sox drafted you in the 32nd round. Boston obviously is a storied organization. Were you ever tempted to turn pro, or by that point was your heart set on college?
Well, my mom being a diehard Yankees fan, you know, wouldn't let me. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, before the draft happened and everything, you know, I knew I wanted to come here and, you know, come play for this program and, you know, get my education in and things like that, all the important things you come down here for. And, you know, I'm definitely glad I did that.
I mean, I think it was pretty clear at that point that you were college bound, but did the Red Sox make a push after they drafted you, like a concerted effort? Or
no, not really. You know, I think I made it pretty clear, you know, what my intentions were, and they understood. And, you know, I don't think they thought that was going to change.
You caught the final pitch of the College World Series last year, a strike from Nathan Kirby that clinched the NCAA title for Virginia. What was that moment like for you? You're obviously immortalized in the highlight video. Yep. Whenever there's a video shown of that final pitch, you'll be in it.
Yep. No, it's awesome. You know, I remember right before the pitch happened, I'm like, wow, this is going to happen. I can't believe it, you know? And I was like, what do I do? Like, what do I do when we get the last out? Do I keep my mask on? Do I take it off? Do I hold on to the ball? You know, granted to say I lost the ball, and, you know, I'm sure no one's happy about that. But, yeah, it's just, it's hard to believe sometimes, you know, even, you know, a year out, you still look back at it and you're like, wow, I can't believe we did that. Can't believe I was a part of that team and things like that. Just blows your mind.
I think I asked you at the start of Omaha last year, how much did having been there the year before kind of help the team, at least the veterans on the team?
Yeah, it definitely helped the veterans. Even, you know, the sophomores, guys like me and Danny and guys who were there, may not have played, but were there and saw everything that it was. You know, you could kind of, for yourself, you knew what to expect. And for the rookies who, you know, were playing, like Ernie Clement, Adam Hazling, Pavin Smith, you know, you could talk to them and be like, look, it's just a baseball game. You know, there's people in the crowd just like everywhere else. Yes, the emotions are higher, the stage is higher, but it's still just a baseball game. And you could tell them what to expect, things like that. And it definitely helped.
How often do you break out your national championship ring, if ever?
Never. I didn't trust it in my hands alone. My parents came down for step up to the plate in the ring ceremony, and I gave it to them that night, and I haven't seen it since. I want to keep that safe, and you know, I don't trust myself with it.
After returning from Omaha, you accepted an invitation to play for USA Baseball's collegiate national team last summer. What was that experience like for you? Did you have much left in the tank at that point?
You know, coming off winning the national championship, it was, you know, emotionally exhausting and physically. But, yeah, I had a little bit left in the tank, went down there, and it was one of the best experiences of my life. You know, coming from national championship to playing for Team USA, and the experience of getting to wear, you know, your country across your chest and playing, you know, people from other countries. And we played Cuba.
Cuba, right?
Yep, yeah. And we played Chinese Taipei. And both series were, you know, really eye-opening. When we played Chinese Taipei, you saw just a completely different style of baseball. You know, guys who never tried to hit a home run, they were, you know, a bunch of singles, and that was their approach the entire time. And you flip over to a set with Cuba, and it was just trying to hit an extra base hit or a home run every single time, and guys throwing as hard as they could. And it was really cool to see the different styles of baseball that are played everywhere.
What, as I mentioned, you played a lot of baseball the first 8 months of last year. Did you, as a veteran, did you take it easier in the fall, or did the coaches make you take it easier?
I definitely didn't catch as much as I did my freshman fall and sophomore fall. But no, not really. You know, it was a good fall. It was a good fall to work out and get better. And, you know, just because it was a long season doesn't mean, you know, you can't prepare for the next one.
Virginia went into the exam break as one of the hottest teams in the country. You won 7 of your last 8 games. All of those played on the road, moved up to second place in the ACC's Coastal Division, moved up to number 15 in the Baseball America National Rankings. What do you attribute kind of that turnaround late in the year, the surge, and looking forward to keeping it going?
Yeah, I don't know if you can pinpoint it to one thing. You know, like Coach has been saying recently, you know, the rookies who you see, Nate Eichhoff and Cameron Simmons, who might have struggled at some points throughout the year, really picking it up because, you know, they now have 100, 120 at-bats under their belt, which is, you know, a high school season, where now these guys who are freshmen are now becoming, you know, experienced freshmen, and they know everything that goes on in our program because it's a lot. You know, having Adam Hazley move down the order to the 6-hole makes our lineup, I think, so much more dangerous. You know, he's got pop, he's got speed, and he's another leadoff hitter with power down the 6-hole. And, you know, I think Justin Novak is the other key thing that's really emerged over these last 10 or 12 games. The kid's been unreal. I mean, you've seen his stat line. The kid, I don't know how many hits he has, but I think it's pretty close to his RBIs. And that's really impressive to me. He's one of the team leaders. I think he's 4th in RBIs with, you know, maybe a third less at-bats than, you know, me and Pavin Smith. And, you know, to see that production out of him after, you know, last year, it's really cool to see.
One of the other big changes that the coaches did was move Tommy Doyle from weekend starter to closer, move Alec Bettinger from closer to weekend starter. Yeah. What have you seen from Tommy kind of over the course of the season? I remember asking you about him going into the year, and he's a big, strong kid who throws hard.
Yep.
Has he progressed, though,
yeah,
as a pitcher?
100%. I think, you know, I don't know if starting – I don't want to say starting wasn't his thing, but I definitely think being a closer suits his personality more. You know, knowing he can go out there for 3 or 6 outs and just give it all he has, I think suits the way he needs to pitch much better, and he's been shut down lately. I would tab him as the best closer in the country over the last 3 weeks. You know, especially down in Miami against Pitt, he's been in, you know, really nerve-wracking situations with, you know, tying run on third base, 2 outs, bases loaded, 1 out, where, you know, we need him to get a ground ball, and he's come through every single time. And that's not going to happen over the course of the year. Things are going to happen where he's going to slip up, but, you know, he's got the poise, and he's the guy we want out there, you know, with the ball to close down a game.
2 ACC series left in the regular season and 1 midweek game. They're all at Davenport Field, which is not always the case, mm-hmm. You know, playing at home, coming out of exams. How, you know, you went through that long 8-game road stretch. To be able to wrap it up at home going into postseason, that's kind of a nice bonus, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely a treat. You know, those 8 games on the road, there were long 8 games on the road. You know, going down to Miami, back to Norfolk, up to Pitt, down to Liberty. It was a lot, you know, and it takes a toll, you know, being in hotel rooms all the time and always on a bus or a plane, things like that. So to be able to be in the comfort of, you know, your own apartment, your own dorm, and, you know, have your locker room and all the things you kind of overlook at points, it's nice to have to end the season, especially when we're around finals time.
There were a number of juniors on last year's team who it seemed very likely that they would turn pro after the season or have an opportunity to. Clearly, they handled that well. They were able to focus on UVA baseball, push the draft, you know, aside until the appropriate time. Did you get any advice from those guys or learn anything just watching the way they handled it? Because you're in that situation this year.
I think it goes without saying, you know, what they did and what guys before them did. And, you know, it goes to what the coaches and the program and the culture of this program have set up that, you know, no one really looks at that at all, you know. They don't look at the eye in the draft and, you know, everything that's going on with them. They just look at what's going on with the team and, you know, what the team needs to do, what you need to do to help the team out, and all that stuff comes second, and it'll all fall in place, and whatever happens, happens. But Virginia baseball and, you know, our team always comes first, and, you know, you watch the guys from previous years, you know, the Nick Howards, Nathan Kirby's, the Brandon Waddells, and that's what they do. They overlook it, and they just do what they need to do to help the team.
So you're a political science major.
Yep.
Do you see yourself possibly doing something along those lines whenever you hang up your cleats, whenever that
probably
day comes?
Probably not. To be honest with you, one day I want to, you know, be a college coach
baseball
somewhere.
Baseball lifer.
Yeah, I just, you know, I love the game. And, you know, to be honest with you, I think I have a good mind for coaching. And, you know, maybe that's what suits me for behind the plate. But, you know, I really do enjoy, you know, the aspects of coaching a game, deciding lineups, you know, pitch calling, all those sorts of things that go into managing, you know. I think that really suits me well. And, you know, whenever I get done playing, you know, that'd be my next step.
Sounds good. Well, I know you need to run. I appreciate your time. Good luck the rest of the season. We'll see you at the ballpark.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
The past couple weekends in Charlottesville have been quiet ones for UVA sports, but things are about to pick up again. In addition to baseball at Davenport Field, there's NCAA tennis, both men's and women's, at the Snyder Tennis Center next to Mem Gym. For information on those events and all of UVA's teams, check virginiasports.com. I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, thanks for listening.